from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I got Sarah Hodges, my main man Jesse Tapia with me here as D'Lo is on vacation. We're just talking a little bit about DeMar DeRozan coming to the Kings. And one of the things that I talked about yesterday is I believe this gives the Kings the floor of being a 50-win team. I said 52 games. I'll stand by it. I'll stand on business. I think the floor of the Kings is a 52-win team with DeMar DeRozan. He changes the game that much for this team with what he's able to do, with what he's able to bring on and off the court in that locker room. I think it's worth it. And I know they won 46, but they had injuries and stuff like that. Yeah. If they have injuries, maybe it won't be 52. I'm going off the year before when they were healthy and they won 48 games. I believe DeMar DeRozan is worth 4 wins.
He's insane. Like, I watched his highlights again once the Kings got him. Like, just, you know, wanted to just see what he was about again, refresh my memory, and just what he's able to do on the court is everything, like, we wish Harrison Barnes could, right?
Mm.
Like, the way that he can finish, drive, give it up, or, you know, just destroy people in the post. Like, he's just amazing. His midi has gotten better. He has a shot, a long-range shot. Like, he can really do it all. And Monty McNair in the press conference, he just talked about, like, how he's able to pass the ball. Like, a lot of people don't give him enough credit for being, like, a passer. And so when I rewatched the highlights again, I was kind of paying attention to that, and he was right. Like, he can drive the lane, dish, and make insane passes, like straight dimes, not even just like basic passes. So it's going to be fun to see him on the court with guys like Domas and obviously De'Aaron. Another thing is just like he's consistent from the charity stripe, which we all know the Kings were struggling last season.
I think he shot 85% from the line last year.
That's big time. Like, you just want a guy who's just going to go get it, like just go downhill and just go get it, like make a play, go to the free throw line, like whatever you got to do, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just that guy. Like, he really is. So I think it's definitely a big, big, big piece that the Kings are missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to take them further. It just elevates them.
What do you guys think the floor is if they're able to add Dorian Finney-Smith or Cam Johnson, though? Like, if Monty's able to cash in again.
Look, am I crazy to say 55 is the floor?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
55 wins was number one seed. Didn't OKC win 55 games?
I'd have to double check. They were around there, I think.
That's the number one seed. I'm not sure.
Are they that level?
They might be. I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm right now.
OKC and Denver were tied at the top with 57 last year.
55. Minnesota went 55?
56, and then the Clippers were 51, and Dallas was 50.
If they were to get, I think they're about one in the same, but I'll say if they were able to get Cam Johnson, we talking 55. I don't know if that's the floor. Maybe I shouldn't say that's the floor, but I would predict they would win like 55 games.
Be up there. Yeah. That would be crazy.
Yeah, and if Finney Smith kind of the same way. Like if they were able to get Finney Smith, they could be a 55-win team. for sure. For the floor, I think stays at like 50 games. Like that's a 50 win team. If they, I think it's a 50 win team right now. But if they were to get those two, that's a 50 win team for sure. You talked about DeMar's ability to create for others, and shout out to Sack Film Room, who put together a compilation of just some of his creating opportunities for others. Yeah. And you're spot on when you talk about that. And I think that's going to be an underrated aspect of him being here, is being able to create for Monk, create for Sabonis, create for Keegan Murray. I think he's definitely going to bring that aspect that a lot of people overlook.
It's a veteran presence. I like how he's done his homework. He's so humble. Like, just the way he talked about the Kings was like almost like he already fell in love with them before he even came. You know, he got calls from De'Aaron, from Malik, and then just the crowd, hearing the crowd in Summer League or in the California Classic, he said like he went to the gym like right away because of that. And so like having a guy that wants to win, that's motivated by great fans in, you know, I'm a Lakers fan. I think everybody knows this, but watch out. But like, I will say, like, Kings have the best.
Where's it at here? They're,
Kings have the best fans.
Sarah Hodges just said that. Jesus.
The Kings have the best fans. They just really do. And so to have a guy who recognizes that and wants to deliver and give this fan base what they deserve. And I know like a lot of players like say that when they come in, you know, like, but this is an all-star saying that. This is a proven player who's saying that and who's coming here because partially he wants to see history.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to be a part of that.
I'm with that.
And he wants to light the beam.
Well, there's that too.
I want to light the beam too.
Well.
Can I light the beam one time?
Sarah, you can't be saying that kind of stuff on this show, man. This show crazy, man. Is that a flag? Is that considered
a flag? No, it's not a flag. We don't throw flags on guests.
What? Saying what?
It's a sophomore class here. You'll see in the chat.
The chat, they go crazy. They're over here talking like, oh, I'm trying to take Domas's credit. I'm not trying
That's
to take
the first thing
I
said when Sarah got here, too.
I was like literally just saying like, he made me look dumb. Like how crazy that like it just switched right after that. Like I'm not taking credit. I'm not in the gym with him. Like,
they said Sarah pulled a coffee boy. They said, thank me for De'Aaron getting good. That's what she said. Hey. It was around that time, though. I got to tip my hat.
Switched,
it was around that time when Sarah said,
DeMontis Sabonis just tapped into D'Lo and KC, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Sarah was like,
and maybe it was just God trying to humble me. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. But it was what it was. And I ain't trying to take credit for nobody's improvements that I had nothing to do with. It's just funny how it worked that way.
What do you think DeMar being here does for Keegan's development? Because he was supposed to be that third guy.
Yeah, I think it's huge because I think it takes less pressure off of Keegan, right? I feel like there was so much pressure on him last year, like, oh, in order for them to make the playoffs, like Keegan has to be, you know, he's still young. Like Keegan's still young. And I think this gives him the ability to develop a little bit better, takes a little bit of the pressure off of him. And, you know, we just talked about his ability to pass and find open guys and, you know, Keegan open. That's money. Close too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about that question that Jesse just asked about Keegan. And then I hear you say he's still young. Is he that young anymore? He's young. He's young as far as NBA experience and stuff like that.
I think the expectations at such a young age were so high for him. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Kings really needed him to be a difference maker straight away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is he? This is his third year? Coming third season?
Yeah, he'll be going
into his third season. Like, he's still young. Right. What do you mean, three seasons? Like, and the first season was just such a big one, right? Like, you're riding this high off of, you know, them breaking that playoff drought. And, you know, then the expectations are so high from the next season. And then he has a little bit of an up and down year. And then, you know, so much goes into that, like mentally, like you think like this is what these guys get paid for, right? And it's so true. But at the same time, there's so much, like, you know how it is, like even with carrying a show by yourself, how much more stress does that create when Damian's gone.
Yeah.
Or like a player goes down and then all eyes are on you. Obviously not the same, but.
But there, I mean, there's
it's a lot. Like he's young and he's trying to develop. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like for Keegan, third year in, we're going to learn a lot about him. Obviously the Kings see something in him because they're not even putting him in trade talk. Like, not like it's not even a thing. They know like he's the truth and he's going to be great for years to come. And I think DeMar is definitely going to help with his growth.
We asked the question yesterday and I absolutely, I'm not worried about Keegan. I think Keegan is he's going to be fine. Like he's going to have for a good season, but I ain't gonna lie to you. I am going to monitor it. Jesse, you talked about it. I don't want him to fall back.
Yeah, you got to stay aggressive.
I still want a level of aggression for him. He may not get the same number of shots every time. Like, well, if I'm asking for 18, I'm not necessarily asking for that this time around. He may not get that. But I do want him to be aggressive when he has a good look. And
how much of Keegan's demeanor reminds you that of, like, Tim Duncan?
A lot.
Right?
Yeah, a lot. Keegan was out there giving Steph the business. In the picture, you guys see that clip? He was giving Steph. I'm joking a little bit. It was one shot, but yeah. You know, he just goes out there and handles business. Don't say too much or nothing like that.
Nothing. Just he's just funny too. Like his smirks. Like I don't know.
He doesn't even show emotion when he dunks on someone.
He's just a different type of dude. He just really is. Like I really mess with Keegan. I like him a lot. Like yeah. I just for everything that he is, for the player he is, for the person he is, he doesn't get too caught up in anything. And that's also why I think he's going to be okay. Like he would never talk about the pressure or say how it affects him. Like he would just never do that. And he probably kind of embraces it, I would say, just because I feel like inside he's just such a winner. I think he loves coach. He loves his play. Like, obviously, him and De'Aaron, you know, they've gone on record just talking about their relationship and how strong it is and stuff. Like, Keegan's going to be good. I think he's only going to get better. And there's just been fun watching him.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine, man. But I think there's something, and we could talk about this a little more in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House. Securing Kuz the sack. He's changed his name. He's taking care of business and, you know, gotten Harrison Barnes out of here. We did not advocate for that. It just you didn't need to.
Securing is batting 1,000 this offseason.
He really is, though. He really is. He was securing the Monk. He was securing the trade Barnes. And now he's securing Kuz the sack. And usually when he says it, it happens, except for the Marvin Bagley situation. Dude. That's neither here nor there. But anyway.
Poor Marvin.
Poor
Marvin.
Marvin, I wish him the best in his future endeavors. I have no problem.
That's
with
the King's fault.
Don't do that.
No. I'm not saying like his development was the King. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying like it was the King's fault forever picking him.
Oh well,
that's fair.
What I'm saying? Like not the. I'm not going there. Like I'm not. I'm not even. That's not even what I was trying to say.
I get you.
But I see how that could be perceived that way. But no, that's not where I was going.
Securing Kuz the sack says 52 wins or 55 wins is not the floor for this team. He asks, this KC is confusing floor with ceiling. Okay. No, I'm standing on business.
KC is glad Harrison Barnes is gone, though.
I said, well, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Like,
we did have a no card to prove it. Go, no, that's ridiculous, too, by the way. Don't listen. Don't listen to these people. Don't listen to Sarah Hodges. Don't listen to Jesse. Don't listen to Damian. I got love for Harrison Barnes. I needed him to get more than one rebound in a game. Yeah. I needed him to take more than two shots. But he could have been fine with this team coming off the bench or something like that. That's fine. But no, securing the Kuz.
Y'all have been done with Harrison. Since Jesse.
That's facts. We didn't go every offseason. Maybe this is the year.
Hold on. We'll address that, but I want to make it perfectly clear. I am not confusing floor for ceiling.
I'm standing
on business. I'm telling you with DeMar DeRozan, and that's just with that.
The ceiling could be
the damn roof at this point. But with DeMar DeRozan, yes, the floor is 52. I expect 50. And look, maybe I'm you know, parlaying it a little bit, but I expect 50 to 52 wins for this team with DeMar DeRozan. That's an expectation. That's what it is. That's the damn floor for me. If things pop off, if they play really well, if everything works perfect, now we're talking 55, 56, 57 wins. And then, like my man said, if they get a Cam Johnson, if they get a Dorian Finney-Smith, and they balance out that roster even more, yeah, the floor is 52. Yeah, I'm standing. Let me get out the chair right now and stand on this business I'm talking about securing Kuz the sack. I'm standing on it. The floor is 52. I didn't stutter. That's it. That's all I have to say. We got to take a quick break. Sarah Hodges, CBS 13, still rocking with us. My main man Jesse rocking with us. We got Antonio Harvey coming on later on. We got a lot more Kings to talk about. I do want to talk about Harrison Barnes when we come back. Okay. I do want to talk about Harrison
Touch
Barnes.
On that.
We'll get into that. It's ESPN 1320. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento's number one sports station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Back here on D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, Sarah Hodges, the Sacramento GOAT. She's chapping in with me here on AKA KC and Friends with D'Lo on vacation. And, you know, they talk about a lot of the times when, we talked earlier, you know, I talked about the Drake effect, right? Something, you know, he's there. It's a bigger situation. It's, you know, it's something that holds more weight. You know what I mean? There is a Sarah Hodges effect. You know what I'm saying? There is a Sarah Hodges effect. Here in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House, I got my guy Ben, who notoriously watches the show. Like he'll be in the chat. Like right now it's 1:18 or whatever. He'll talk about something in the chat, posted at 1:18 about something that we said at like 12. Mm. Right? So we, like he said, we were talking about Kawhi. And he said, nah, Kawhi needs to hang it up. We talked about Kawhi an hour ago, about an hour and 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he does. But the Sarah Hodges effect has been in the chat talking about I'd fight someone for Sarah Hodges. This is like current. Like this is happening right now. He's like, nah, I'm not. I usually watch the show as it goes along. Sarah Hodges is here. I'm going live.
Ben is
That's
never on
what
time.
Happens. This is Sarah. Am I lying, Jesse? Am I lying?
Nah, Ben is never on time.
Never.
I feel like for Ben, the chat probably just shuts down. Like, oh, I guess I can't type anymore.
Yeah, and he stays back there. He don't catch up. But the Sarah Hodges effect got Ben catching up.
Y'all are just
catching up.
Really
it's crazy.
Really making my head big over here. Building me up. Ben,
also,
I appreciate you.
They also gave Sarah a flag for saying like the beam too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't throw flags on guests. Yeah.
She didn't get an official one, but the crowd was calling for it. They're like, hey, hey, hey. No.
It was like the bad officiating in the Republic game last night. The crowd was just.
Is that what happened? You know what? You know what happened? Full transparency. I didn't get a chance to watch the game.
Yeah.
Because it was on, they wouldn't, like last year when they were doing this, they were on ESPN Plus. I don't know what contract they got going
on.
Was
it not on ESPN Plus?
Nah,
was it not on Fox?
I didn't check, but I knew the last game that they played.
Am I allowed to say that since I work for CBS? I probably shouldn't shout out the other station.
Yeah,
you
just say it's, was it somewhere else?
Was it on another local channel?
Yeah. But the last game they played against the Earthquake wasn't on anything.
Ooh.
And it was like on USL or maybe it was like US Open app or something like that. I was like, man, get this off of here, man. Put this back on ESPN Plus. So I don't know what happened last night. I was just following along on my phone. Saw they were down 2-0 early.
Yeah, the Sounders were just, they were applying that pressure pretty much the entire match. And it was just, and you know, Republic is a great defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
They just, too many shots on goal. I would have to see the stats just from, you know, sometimes when you watch a match and then you look at the stats, it doesn't quite read the same way that you saw it.
Right.
Like, I felt the time of possession was definitely on the Sounders side. I would have to look and see, like, what it actually was.
Mm.
But, you know, you also have to think, like, this is a tournament that they're playing outside of the regular season. Like, these are a lot of matches going on. So, to be a coach and have to, like, coach through that and, you know, be meticulous, like, okay, when am I going to play these players and these? Because, like, they have to turn around and they got to play Saturday, and this is actually for the USL, and they're battling for first place right now in the West. So it's like, it's a hard one.
Yeah, I wonder how much they miss Roro, too, man.
They miss Roro a lot. And I think that a lot of people don't realize because, you know, Roro's, to me, one of the better players on the team.
Mm-hmm.
He creates plays, he gives them confidence. They're definitely missing him. His assists, like, they're definitely missing him out there. There's no doubt. And then, of course, Cicerone as well, which is, like, one of their better players. So
absolutely.
When they get those two guys back, hopefully, it doesn't look like Roro is going to be back this season. Hopefully he will. Like, you saw when he got injured last season, like, he came back before, you know, anybody expected him to return. Like, he's just the type of guy that's going to do whatever it takes to get back out on the pitch. Like, his recovery, like, he's relentless with it.
That's my guy.
Yeah,
that's
my guy too. Right, such there, a good person.
Absolutely.
Great. So great for the city.
They're saying the game was on Apple. I guess I missed that. I missed it. I wanted to watch it. I couldn't see it, but I ended up following along, and I was like, ah, come on. They got it to 2-1. I thought, you know, maybe they...
Dude, and that was within like 5 minutes of the second half because I was there with my little niece. She's from LA, and you know she's not really into sports like I am. So I was like telling her like down 2-0, like oh this game's over, and I'm like no, I'm like I've seen Republic come back three being down 3-0.
Isn't that what happened in the Earthquake game or one of the games recently? They
do it all the time.
They were down 2-0 and they came back and got two late goals. I feel like
I got there 15 minutes late.
Well, that's Hollywood. That's what it is.
I wish I was. I didn't because I wanted to be there and kind of see the pregame stuff. But it's hot, you know, so I kind of wanted to wait a little bit. But they were already down 1-0, and like already I was like pissed walking in. I'm like, oh my gosh, like maybe if I was here, they wouldn't be down 1-0. You know, just
let's blame Sarah, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. Just Chatty House does.
Showed up on time.
Chatty House does. Mine as well.
Your fault.
Yeah, I was just so disappointed when I walked in because I'm like, ugh, I love Republic.
Yeah, man.
I love the city. I really do.
So do you agree with Gilbert Arenas?
Man, I was about to screenshot all my fine-ass friends and be like, all these girls are from SAC. What are you even talking about? Like, I'm not from Sac, so like, and I don't think I'm like the best looking person in the world, but like all my friends are bad as heck. And like, I was about to like take pictures, send all my friends and be like, what are you missing?
I don't know.
What are you not seeing that I'm seeing?
Gilbert Arenas is hurt.
That's right. Because it did kind of sound like it came from a place of like, are you okay? Like, did Sacramento do? I feel like he dated a girl from Sacramento that like mamas. Did it dirty or something.
Well, his baby mother's from
Sacramento. Oh, really?
She's from the Bay Area. She worked for the Kings.
Oh, wow.
Laura Govan, his ex wife with the three kids, four kids, or something like that. He met her when she was working for the
Kings. Okay, but she's not from Sac, so we can't claim her as being like.
No, but that's bad memories for him.
So you think
he
that
met
it just.
Her when she was in Sac.
It hit a chord.
It sounds like it.
Dang.
Feels like it.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But like, how, like, to even say that out loud.
Gilbert.
You gotta be hurt. Like,
no, he went, like, that was a little ridiculous. Like, like, it wasn't just regular, like, Sac. Like, you know, when teams to take shots at Sacramento, like, that was personal. Like, his feelings were hurt.
Gilbert, you basically said every girl in Sac is ugly.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, he said they had the stat that he was talking about, which I saw the same article 5 years ago when it came out. And I don't even know how that happens, right?
Where Bro, Sacramento I've been everywhere around the country. Trust me, this is not the place with the ugliest women. I'm not going to say and where.
Well, the other, yeah, we don't have to say where.
I'm not going
to
be Gilbert.
We can leave. We can leave Bakersfield out of this. There's no need to bring them in.
Yeah, Bakersfield. We'll get you a different day.
I'm joking Bakersfield. I'm joking, but yeah, like I don't even know how they come up with that. But I don't know if anybody saw it because I'm the type of guy like Gilbert's podcast. Is entertaining from time to time. I don't go out of my way to watch it, but hearing guys like Gilbert and Brandon Jennings and Rashawn McCants and Kenyon Martin's on there sometimes for certain conversations, it's entertaining, right? So like I said, I don't really listen to the podcast or watch the videos, but sometimes when it comes across the timeline, I'll check it out.
It's like the journalist in me, but like if I was him, I would have just been like, hey, this is this article that came out. See, I don't even know what, like, DeMar DeRozan's, like, is he married? Like, I don't even really know any of that info about him. Like, I don't know about his personal life, right? But what does it even matter? Like, unless he's single looking, why would you even bring that up?
Well, even then, it's 2024. Like, you can find whatever you're looking for, no matter where you live.
Exactly. There's beautiful people and you've
got,
everywhere.
You've got unlimited. Well, look, even more than that, if you're any NBA player, if you're Gilbert Arenas or Brandon Jennings, you have unlimited resources to, oh, I just followed this girl in Fresno. Hey, let me send for you to come up here.
It was just such a weird stat to like just bring up as like why he shouldn't have come here. Like, bro,
nah, he's an idiot. I say all that to say he had a kind of a rebuttal yesterday to what he was saying.
Yeah?
And it was whatever.
Like, what was it?
What did you say?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see it either.
He said, well, it was, he's just not the sharpest knife in the tool, in the drawer, right? Because they talked about De'Aaron Fox, right? De'Aaron Fox had the tweet, which was a quote to my tweet. Shout out to KC. But he said something to the effect of like, Chicago is the third most populated state or city in America. San Antonio is top 10. And as to Gilbert saying, oh, you don't want to be in big cities, DeMar, like, what are you doing? And DeMar played in Chicago. He played in San Antonio. So De'Aaron says that, and Gilbert goes, that doesn't tell me anything. Populated city is not the same as market. I don't know what you're actually. Yes,
that's exactly what it is.
It tells you everything you need to know, Gilbert.
Please stop.
No, Gilbert, that's actually the same.
Like
same exact thing.
That's literally how they distribute the market sizes.
So he goes on and he says, he's like, I'm talking about like NBA market. You know what I mean? Not populated city. It's literally the same.
Literally
thing,
the same
whatever,
thing.
Gilbert.
That is.
And he goes, I'm talking. So then he's all over the place, right? Because then he goes, I'm talking about, you know, L.A. Think about all the great players that ever played. They, you know, except from Tim Duncan, they're from L.A. They're from New York. They're from the Bay Area. They're from Philadelphia. They're from da-da-da-da. He names all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Where they played their NBA career. And then he goes, what I'm talking about is I'm talking about the finances, and that's why Sacramento's a bottom market, because financially they wouldn't be able to have a Supermax and then pay people or do all this other stuff. Like, he got into it, right, and he was wrong, but like, he was trying to make a point or whatever.
He was running in circles because there was no point being made. He just dug himself deeper into being crazy. I was like, are you okay?
But mind you what I just said, right? Mind what I just said. He was like, yeah, Chicago, New York, L.A., Philadelphia. Those are the big markets, da-da-da-da. And then he goes, what happened to Tyrese Maxey. He's not going to make Supermax. They didn't get his money, so now they gave it to Supermax to Paul George. See, I told you. Fam, you just said Philadelphia was a big market.
All right, Gilbert.
Jeez Louise. He needs
Gilbert,
help.
Gilbert was, he was a mess. He was all over the place. I will say this about Gilbert. If you know Gilbert, he's not running anything back. He's not going to say sorry about anything. But he did say, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is I do feel a little bad. I called him a loser numerous times yesterday.
That is a loser thing to say, though. He's not a loser, but that is a loser thing to say.
I shouldn't have called him a loser.
You're defending your women here in SAC, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
You got our back. But somebody's got to.
Yeah, I got my city's back at all times, but I shouldn't have called him a loser. I will run that back a little bit. But he's like, look, man, I'm not talking about the fan base. They have a championship fan base. They have a championship support. Like, yeah. I'm not talking about that. He said, I'm literally just talking about how the market size and how the game goes and money and stuff like that. He's like, I'm not throwing no shade towards the people that support the team or the city. He's just like, it's just what it is. Like,
he acts like he's not making money.
Well,
if it's that, then talk about it like that instead of talking like your feelings are hurt.
Exactly. Why bring women's looks into it when it's like, I'm pretty sure this dude can fly any girl from anywhere around the world that he wants if that's what he wants. Like, why are you even bringing up women here?
He definitely hurt. Yeah. He definitely hurt. And then he didn't come off very bright when he was.
He just hates the Kings is really what it is.
When he was explaining that situation, he didn't come off very bright at all. I said, "This is an argument.
You know, in the presidential debate, they have the mute button.
Yeah,
his producer should just have the mute as soon as he starts saying something that's like not factually correct. Like, just mute him.
Yeah, man.
Target market size mute.
Yeah. So I don't even know how we got to. Oh, you said you were gonna send them pictures of the baddies.
Yeah, Sacramento. And I got a bunch, and most of them are single.
Don't send him to Gilbert though.
I know you're just hooking up Gilbert Arenas at this point.
Yeah, don't send him to Gilbert, man. He doesn't have the G14 classification.
I'm just gonna put on my social and be like, hey Gilbert, and then just be like swipe and then just put like all of them on there.
Yeah,
all these girls are from SAC.
SAC is like I said yesterday.
You've seen my friends?
Yeah, man. Shout out to all my people, man. Those are my people now too, mm-hmm. man. They show love to me, man. Shout out to my girl JP. Shout out to my girl Lexi. Those are my people as well. But the thing about it though that I preference what I was saying yesterday was, as a city, I'm secure enough as the city that Sacramento is that if people say whatever about the city, all right, man. Like it's no big deal. I'm here every day. I go out, have a good time. I hang out with Sarah from time to time. We have a good time. Mm-hmm. It's a good time out here. We don't need to be this super, big city to have a good time.
Nobody's claiming it to be like LA or like the party life is like Vegas or LA or Atlanta. Like, we know it's not.
You're telling on yourself too every time you drop the Cowtown line.
Yeah, man. We have a good time every time we out here in Sacramento. There's a lot of things to do. Whether it's what we do with 102.5, concerts in the park.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nico and Oasis over at District 30. Shout out to my people over at Tiger. You know what I mean? Shout out to the fine dining at Echo and Rig, at Martin's, or
Sawyer,
anything else like that.
Yeah, you want a staycation? You want to chill by the pool, eat and drink?
You have
go to the Sawyer.
Have a
feel
really
like
good
you're
time.
Somewhere else.
I just drove up to
Tahoe. Like, I've never been to Tahoe in the summer. Like, I've been to snowboard, by
I've never
the way.
Been to Tahoe, period.
What?
Yeah, you've never been to Tahoe.
Are you okay?
Why? Hold on. Please yeah, stop. Hold on.
Never been. So there's two things that go on. First of all, I went to Reno for Memorial Day.
I've never been to Reno.
Went to Reno. Reno is, well.
Reno's whatever.
I heard it was kind of popping.
Well, if you're going to college.
Yeah, maybe. Reno is.
There's gambling there and all that.
I ain't gonna pull no Gilbert on Reno right now. I had a good time in Gilbert or in Reno. Reno. You know, was there for a basketball tournament. Yeah, fine. But the thing about it is, I've never. That was the first time I've ever driven to Reno, and that drive kind of crazy. Going through the mountains and the turns and trucks.
And
you know,
really,
on one
the drive
side.
Up to Tahoe isn't like if you've been to like other. I don't know, like. I'm from Southern California, so like Big Bear, Arrowhead, like that's really windy. Going up that mountain, I feel like Tahoe's not even bad.
I don't know. Maybe it's
that different. Is wild that you've never been there, though. I'm a
that
little
is.
Shocked.
Well, the
me too.
The thing about it is, I don't know. Like this would be the time for me to go.
Do you like to swim?
No.
Do you like to be on a boat?
It's whatever.
Both. Yeah. So then I guess maybe
you can vibe out in Tahoe. Though. You don't have to go on the water. Or whatever.
I'd have a good time.
They like, have like there's like a tiki bar there, on a beach that you could go to and like drink and like you know.
If I went
your
to
kids
Tahoe
can play.
And somebody's like, "Yo, we rented this boat," I'd have a great time. I know I'd have a great time in Tahoe.
I felt I like I was in a different.
I'd gamble
country.
A little bit. You know what I mean? I know I'd have my aunt. She always goes to Tahoe. She's always like, "Yo, you need to come up here with me. I got to take her up on the offer." But here's the thing. From November, I'd even say maybe October. October would be all right. But from November to March, that Tahoe, Reno, that's a no-go. I'm not driving where I need chains. I ain't doing that.
That's fine. Yeah, driving in the snow is
true. I
ain't doing that.
I went snowboarding one time last season, and I broke my elbow and my wrist. I was in a cast for literally a month.
Too busy doing all them flips, man. Stop doing them flips.
And trying to be like, I couldn't believe it.
What was that? What was the guy's name? The Red Tomato?
Sean White,
yeah, trying to be like Sean White.
I wish I was like Sean White.
Snowboarding is the single most frustrating thing I've ever done in my life.
It's so much fun. Like I've grown up snowboarding, but I just don't go that often. And I went the one time I went last season, and the snow was good last season. But I went on a day that it was a little bit more icy than normal.
Mm.
Just cruising,
yeah,
for a bruising.
That's pretty much what happened. I think I've told this story about when I tried to snowboard one time.
Where'd you go?
I was in this place, Shaver Lake, which is like east of Fresno.
Okay.
And a lot of snow, everything else like that. But they, we were going up the little lift or whatever, and I'd never snowboarded or skied ever in my life. And my wife and all her friends, they're like, "Let's go to the top." None of them had ever done it either. But like, let's go to the top.
Brave.
I was like, shouldn't we do the little bunny slopes? But we were running out of time. We were running out of daylight. So we were trying to get her as much time as we can in. So we go up to the top and get off on the little ski lift. That was an adventure in itself. And I was on the snowboard and I went like down the hill just a little bit, not very far or whatever. And I started, you know, it just didn't feel right. I sat down. I kicked off the snowboard. I was like, yeah, man, I'm not sliding up here. So I saw one of the instructors and I was like, "Hey, what's the other options to get down from the mountain? Cause I'm not going to snowboard. I don't like the way this feels." She's like, "Well, you gotta snowboard down."
Yeah.
I said, "No, I'm not, you don't understand. I'm not doing that. It's not going to happen." So then I go up to the little top of the hill where they have the little cabin, mm-hmm. the little small cabin. It's not no big, this little small cabin where you get coffee or something like that. So, you know, what can I do? She's like, "You got to snow down." She said, "Look, I'll help you, okay? I'll help you get used to everything. Just hold my hand, and we'll slide down a little bit together." I was like, "All right, cool." So she's sliding. We're going down the snowboard, and as we're going, we're starting to pick up steam a little bit, and we're going a little faster. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, "Man, if I get hurt, that's all bad. But if she gets hurt, I'm definitely stuck." And then I just like sat down or whatever, and then like she kind of almost fell a little bit. I said, "Nah. I tried. I'm not going to snowboard. I'm not doing it."
Yeah.
So how am I getting down from this mountain?
That's the only way.
Do we got to get a helicopter? What do we have to do? Snowboard and skiing is not an option. It's not happening.
Well, people get hurt. They just let them down.
Well, what happened to me was they end up getting the last call guy, because then it started to get dark. This was February. So it was getting dark at like 5 o'clock or whatever. So then they have the little last call guy on the snowmobile. And they're like, lady was like, "Look, man. It was a lady actually. She's like, "I'm doing a little last call on the snowmobile. You can just ride down on that." I was like, "Great. This is awesome. This is a great experience."
Scary too.
See, I
walked. That was fine.
First time
That's like the little jet ski thing, you know, like the little motor.
No,
like,
I know. I've never been on one of those, actually.
Yeah. First time I went, mom was like, yeah, I'll teach you how to snowboard. It'll be fun. Cool, cool, cool. We're going to do the bunny hill. No, it takes me to the top, and I'm trying. I'm just falling every time. And you know me, like, Casey, I don't get frustrated. I'm always cool, calm, collected. I'm like, no, this is stupid. Like, why you bring me up here? Like, why would you do this? I keep falling, just end up walking my ass down the whole hill.
Yeah, but I feel like your first 3-4 days of snowboarding, that's how it is. Like, you have to get over that hump of, like, falling, because it's not a sport that you can just pick up first day and be good. I don't care if you surf. I don't care if you skateboard. You still are going to be on your butt 90% of the time your first day snowboarding. Like, that's just, you got to pay your dues to be good at the sport. Like, you just do.
The other thing that messed up my situation was, as we're going up the lift, I'm going up and I see this lady and she's like, oh, and then like people down there like, oh no, she broke her leg. Help, help. I said, oh man. And I'm just going up.
You're just
going
like picturing
up
like bone
and
coming
higher
out.
And higher. I'm like, oh bruh, nah man, we ain't doing
heck
this.
No.
So that messed everything up for me too. I was like, yeah, I can't be breaking my leg out here.
I'm not gonna lie, like I'm still like sore, and you know, I'm still doing physical therapy, and people are like, are you gonna get back out there? And I am.
No, you're tough. You're tougher than
I'm going to wear wrist guards. I'm going to wear a helmet. I didn't have neither of those on when I was snowboarding last.
Well, see, you're too busy being cool out here.
See, give me the sled and I'll go down the little hill or whatever. Like, that's it.
Sleds are scary, too.
I ain't going down no hill. What do I need to go down a hill for?
So, not during the winter, but the reason why I bring this up is...
We got the time.
We got the time. The reason why I bring this up is because there's so many beautiful things to do even around SAC. Mm-hmm. Like... Lake Tahoe during the summer, I didn't realize just how beautiful that water is until I started just like kind of researching. So I went to like Secret Cove or something like that. You had to hike, first of all, which is like, it was fine down, but up was a disaster because I was jumping off rocks all day. So I was already exhausted. But the water like looks like you're in the Caribbean now. It's not as warm, right?
That water cold.
It's cold, but it was like 95 degrees when I was there. I got a nice little tan. But so you need something to kind of cool off. That's what I hate about Florida. Is like, you go there during the summer, it's hot as heck, and the water is just as hot as it is outside. And I'm like, how are you people cooling off? Like, there's no cooling off. At least in Tahoe, when it's 95, the water is just beautiful. It's clear. You can see. You can touch. Like, I don't know. Like, I had a great time. I kind of want to go back.
Yeah. I'm definitely not anti. I'm going to go to Tahoe. I don't know if I'm going to go this summer, but I'm definitely going to Tahoe. But, yeah, I don't know. I might need a driver.
What we need
maybe
to
you
do,
can drive me.
Well, I'll drive you. But also what we need to do is we need to make it a family affair, rent like a dope ass house, like on the water, and we can like barbecue. We could pull up, like rent a couple jet skis, bring them, rent a boat, bring it up to Tahoe. Cause I think it's probably like super expensive to rent it there, but like maybe rent it like down here or something and then bring it up. I got a truck. We can go.
See, that's
you need to set up. See, Sarah's got you.
She got it. I'm gonna go.
Yeah,
we'll have a good time.
Get the fam. Yeah. And we'll have a good time.
Are you before we get out of here for a break? Are you like a camper? Like, would you camp in a tent, or are you like got to be in an RV?
I would prefer an RV. Like, I will. Like, I'm not gonna say like I'm too good for anything, but I would prefer to be in an RV. Like, when I was a kid, I camped, and my parents would do that. We would go to like. What is it, like Kings County, where there would be like rivers and stuff that you could like, there'd be like natural slides that you could go down, and we would set up camp, like, you know, came from humble beginnings, right? Like, my parents probably couldn't afford an RV like that.
Right.
But at my big age, I ain't got no kids, which is another thing. So it's like, I can probably afford to get an RV because I don't have to pay for all these dings.
Sarah's not sleeping on the floor, basically. No, not sleeping on the floor.
Blow a mattress.
She's going to be on a Matthews mattress while camping. That's how she's going to be, man. Sarah Hodges, CBS 13, rocking with us right now. We may talk more about Tahoe. We may talk about the Kings.
We never got to Harrison Barnes.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about Harrison Barnes. I do have something to say about Harrison. And I got a question to ask you about Harrison Barnes.
Okay.
We'll talk about it more. D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. This conversation is all over the place here on D'Lo and KC. Sarah Hodges is in the building. We talked about Tahoe. We talked about Gilbert Arenas. We talked about the baddies in Sacramento. And now we're talking about robots. You know what I mean? So it's whatever. The one thing I did want to talk about, though, because I do want to get your take on the Kings. And I mentioned yesterday, we joked a little bit about, you know, I've been trying to move on from Harrison Barnes or whatever the case may be. I like Harrison Barnes. I respect and appreciate what Harrison Barnes was to this team, to this franchise, to this city.
There were some big moments.
Yeah, if there was a way to keep Harrison Barnes and add DeMar DeRozan or something like that, that'd be perfect. Mm. That'd be absolutely perfect because I think there is value to having a guy like Harrison Barnes. Unfortunately, you had to give up a little something to get something in that situation. But, nah, man, Harrison Barnes, the frustrating part for me with Harrison Barnes was the fact that I believed he was capable of a lot more than what he was putting out on
the lack of consistency.
Yeah.
Lack of consistency.
Like I could not fathom why he would have 2 rebounds.
Mm.
I could not fathom why he would have 2 shot attempts from time to time.
Like especially with a coach like Mike Brown, who like is very serious about like shooting and making play. Like you can't just sit.
I said a number of different times, Harrison, if you go 2 for 13, I'll be like, that's great.
Yeah.
Take your 13 shots, but we can't have 1 for 3. That was always the frustration.
Was it a matter, though, like maybe his fit on the team just ran its course?
Well, like
maybe you held on to Harrison just a year too long.
I think Kyle Mattson said this the other day, and it was a great way that he put it. The Kings might have outgrown Harrison Barnes.
Mm.
Like where this team was for what Harrison brought to the table.
When did he get here? 5 years ago?
Yeah, five, maybe a little bit more than that because it was before the pandemic. So, yeah, it was about 5 years
ago. You got here in the 18-19 season.
Yeah. So.
Oh, dang. So that was like almost.
He's been here for a while. He was here.
I don't know why I thought he came after me.
He was here as long as he was with the Warriors, wasn't he? I think he might have been with the Warriors about 6 seasons.
He was here longer than that.
Wow.
Yeah, he was only with the Warriors for 4 seasons.
Wow. Wow. This
Kings
was,
legend Harrison Barnes. Kings if he's legend. In the Hall of Fame, if he goes to the Hall of Fame, he's as a king.
But I mean, where they were at that time, a young team trying to establish themselves, a franchise trying to establish itself and find its way. Mm. Having a guy like Harrison Barnes, it worked. You know what I'm saying? It worked and he was stable for that. Now trying to elevate your franchise into potential contender status. I don't want to say, because there's a level of like, there's a level of disrespect in saying like they wanted to be contenders, they couldn't have Harrison Barnes. I don't know if I feel that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think in the right situation, Harrison can be part of a winning team. What do you think, Jesse?
He couldn't be here as a starter. I don't think he could be a part of them like that as a starter.
If Harrison and everybody was so everybody was so important to that team. I'm trying to think of the little spots.
I guess there's nowhere.
But I was gonna ask Jesse real quick. If Harrison started on the Celtics, could they be an NBA Finals team? I think this guy's better than Harrison Barnes, but let's take Derek White out of there. If you had Harrison Barnes, you think they could be a Finals team?
You still can't because the guys around there, but you're taking a step down. Mm. Like Derek White, like you're for sure. Like Harrison Barnes, like you're taking a step down at that point.
Mm. I was like, what I think was so frustrating about Harrison was like his ability to like drive the lane and make plays and like get fouled. He could do it every time. It was almost like he kind of was a walking bucket when he would impose his will, but. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like he took a break from imposing his will because he's really crafty driving the lane. Like he really is. Yeah. And he creates fouls and he does all of that. Maybe not. I don't know what his percentage was from the charity stripe. I don't think it was great. I think there's times where like that it was getting kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I think he was okay. I want to say he was like high 70s, maybe low 80s from the free throw line. He just wouldn't be aggressive enough to
exactly.
Get
like he took a step back from imposing his will that we had like seen before. Like that's what I like loved about his game is like, you know, when he imposed his will, he could do a lot.
Mm-hmm. What you got, Jesse?
No, yeah, Sarah's right. He shot 80% from the free throw line last year, but the year before that, he was 5 free throws a game. Last year, he was 2.4.
Yeah.
2.4. And that was always my frustration. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Harrison per se, it wasn't his ability. It was, hey man, you can do so much more than what you're doing. You can do a little bit more than what you're doing. And to stick around in a situation, and I know he, you know, shots, you know, might have been limited for him. You know what I'm saying? Because so I understand that aspect. But like you said, I think Mike Brown and that coaching staff was like pushing him to be more aggressive. I feel like De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis were pushing him to be more aggressive, and he just couldn't find the consistency in being able to do it.
Yeah, so interesting to me because you did it so well. Mm-hmm. So like, what changed? Like, that's.
Let me ask you guys a question. This is something I'm thinking about on the fly. Do you think Harrison Barnes ever recovered from that game 4 miss?
Yeah, because if you could recover from that finals, from that finals with the Warriors, they were just bricking every shot. Honestly, with HB, it's just a matter of like his play is just probably going down because he's getting older. Like, that happens. I think at this point, he can help the Spurs way more than he can help the Kings.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of about where he's at in his career.
I agree that the Kings sort of have outgrown him. It is time.
Like I said, it's a tough thing to say, but maybe it's a real thing to say. You know what I'm saying? It's tough. It comes off a shade to Harrison Barnes. It's not intended. It's just, hey, they're at a different level. You know, they're trying to get to a different level. And I like what Jesse said as well. They probably couldn't get there with you as a starter.
Right.
With the amount of talent that they had on the squad. Like, if they had the Boston Celtics level talent where you got two. You know, I know Fox and Sabonis are all NBA guys, but hell, you look at what they had. Say take Derek White out of there and put Harrison Barnes in there. They got two top 10 players. They've got an all defensive guy. They got a guy in Porzingis who, if he was able to stay healthy, would probably be an all NBA player. They got an embarrassment of riches. The Kings didn't necessarily have that, right? And if you had Harrison Barnes now on this team, I think it works better. You know what I mean? But they needed a little too much. Excuse me. They needed a little too much from Harrison than what he's able to give right now.
Do you guys think he did his job for what he was supposed to do while he was here? Like, it was a mission accomplished for him? Like, obviously, they didn't get to the playoffs much. They did once and all that. But, like, as the vet, being that presence out here.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, like, even in, like, being, like, in media and in the locker room and just in times where like they needed that spokesperson, like he was really that guy. You know, he could obviously he can hold a conversation really, really well. Right. And there are times where, you know, he would speak to the media and deal with those hard questions that like maybe some of the other young guys just weren't ready for at that time. So
I agree with that. I think he did his job in that respect. He bridged the gap. You know, he stayed here long enough for De'Aaron Fox to grow up, for Sabonis to grow up and do those things. Because remember,
those guys have gotten better since he's been here.
When he got here, those guys, it's been said a lot, those guys it affected them when Iman Shumpert was traded. You know what I'm saying? That was, they all kind of point to the fact that when he was traded, that was a gut punch. And that's because they were, you know, young NBA players and they were guys who were getting the first look at the business side of it all. Now, what we say, 6 years later, you know, these guys are young men now. You know, these are grown men with families. And Harrison helped bridge that gap to the point where now De'Aaron Fox, he can handle anything that he sees in the NBA.
He's
a seasoned vet. And Harrison helped along that. And we're talking about off the court. I think on the court, he did, for the most part, he did his job. I mean, Harrison Barnes was 15 points a game, 12, 15 points a game for his entire time here with the Sacramento Kings. The fact that they needed more from him, that's not a Harrison Barnes problem. Yeah. That's a Sacramento Kings problem.
Yeah, and I feel like he was just, you know, he was here for such a big part of, like, history, Kings history, with, you know, breaking that playoff drought. And you know, there were 2 years there where I feel like Harrison was extremely reliable.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
He always played.
And I feel like when he wanted it, he could go get it, which not every player can do that. You know what I mean? But I felt like Harrison was that type of player. Like, you know, he could drive the lane and if not, you know, get a bucket, at least, you know, get to the charity stripe.
Yeah. I agree.
Which those guys are important to have.
I agree, but the reality of the situation is you're getting a better version of Harrison Barnes and DeMar DeRozan. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like,
it's this guy. He's Harrison on steroids, you know.
Fade away.
He's got, man. Man, and I think it was Sack Film Room again. Shout out to them again. I think they had a compilation. And my man Leo over at Cowbell, he also had some video of showing some of the spots where Harrison would get the ball in the Kings offense. Mm. And, you know, he'd either take it to the basket or pass it or be pat, whatever he did at the time. Mm. But he talked about how now that's going to be DeMar in those spots and not Harrison.
And we haven't even touched on the defensive side of things, right? Like what DeMar brings defensively.
Well, see, now, and then you got the people, they talking about DeMar. Is
it what are we going to do about the defense?
Yeah, man. Look, man, I don't care. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you right now.
Wait, no, he's not a bad defensive player.
That's what we've been trying to tell him, Sarah.
He's not a bad I feel like he's better than Harrison.
He is better than Harrison on the defense.
No, that's not.
Now, look, he ain't prime Kawhi Leonard. Nobody's saying that.
Yeah,
but he's not. The people are losing their mind. I don't know what we're going to do with defense now. They just doubled down more on offense. All right, settle down. Like
we needed a little bit more offense, to be fair. Yeah. And I don't think he's a bad defender at all.
I don't think so either.
He's better than Harrison Barnes.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, if we're looking, I mean, it's very clear that, like, pound for pound, like, it's not even a question who you would take, right? We already know that. But if we're going to, then yeah, on the speaking on defense, he's better too.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I don't.
Kyle Renata, that was in the chat. They were literally acting like you traded like a defensive stopper in HB. And I'm not trying to like talk bad about HB or whatever, but like maybe he was that a few years ago and all that. But I don't know if they were watching last season or anything like that.
Man, come on, man.
The last 2 years, really.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, like I said, I know we said a lot of nice things about Harrison, so I don't want to mess that up. I want to show respect, but.
But I think when we were having
this guy was food.
It was not even
Harrison. He was food thing. Out there.
And when we were having this conversation about Harrison, like what was it last year and maybe the year before, I think that's why I was so defensive over HB because I was just living in those great 2 years that we got out of him that it was hard for me to accept like, no, because I've seen what he does. Like he brings this veteran presence. He's mm-hmm. he's cool. He's calm. He's collected, just like my man Jesse. And so it was hard for me to, because this team was just, I was so used to them being so young and like, but then they're not anymore. You're right. They're all grown now.
Right.
And they've all developed into these great players. And I do think HB had some to do with that, and I do think it's time.
Yeah.
So in those conversations you guys were having where you guys were ready to just.
Well, see, then look, see how the media does. They twist your words around. Look at the media right now,
Jesse,
twisting what I said.
There was a note card that said KC hates HB.
Make that note card?
No, but it was
why
like,
was the note card made, Kenny?
Yeah,
though?
It was a little, I was getting that vibes, not even just from you, from Damian as well. Like, and I was having such a hard time accepting what you guys were saying because I'm like, what? Like.
Well,
for this team, then I felt like HB was so good. Mm-hmm. But after last year, maybe you guys were ahead of seeing.
Here's the other aspect of that as well, though, is what you got, Jesse?
I would say with the HB thing, I don't know if it was so much we had an HB out of here, but more so this is the only spot we can upgrade.
That's true. That's probably so. Fair.
That was the spot where you could upgrade. And
no, I'm pretty sure we had a conversation about you guys like feeling like Harrison Barnes like isn't reliable. I'm pretty sure.
No, he wasn't reliable.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't consistent and reliable.
Which went into play with like getting him out.
Yeah, because I couldn't have him getting one rebound and taking two shots.
No, last season was definitely the tell-all.
Now the other thing about that though is there was a flip that switched last season. Where out of nowhere, he just started being more aggressive and consistent. It was like, I think we had the exact day, it was a Hawks game where he had like 31 points. And I want to say it was like January 11th or something like that. And from like January 11th on, he was like 15 points per game, took a bunch of shots at a time. Like he was everything that we were asking. And I don't know what happened at the beginning of the season, but he wasn't reliable in early on in the season, and it was like, oh, if you're gonna just, you know, be non-existent and be invisible out there, we got to move on.
Just not consistent. That's just really what it is.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.